שנה בקיבלה ואים. קיבלה ואים ומחמורס ומחמורס. It's one of the most severe commands. כמו שכתב בגמרא, מצווה חמורס ומחמורס, זו קיבלה ואים. ואנשי מפורש בתורה, למען יאריכון ימיך. That's what he wants to say, that a person who doesn't give his parents kavod, Rachmana Litzlan, he doesn't have a long life. Besides the awesome Einchim that come upstairs, fortunate is the one that never saw his parents. Ramina Begemara Hukash Kvaidim Lekvaid Amokim. Parents are compared to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Kol Mitzar Aviv Be'imai Ki Litziris Hashchinam. One who bothers his parents, Mitzar, his parents, causes anguish, is like he pained the Shechina. V'apilu Levazris Aviv Ba'al Be'imai Be'mizu Shalei Be'fneim. Even to embarrass his parents at a hint, and even if they're not there, to speak disparagingly, who b'chal or makul Aviv Be'imai, k'mash k'asiv Rambam. V'ar b'klala b'nidui. It comes, the person can, Rachmana Litzlan, get cursed and put into chayrim from upstairs. Come aboard the Gemara. Uchsev ayin tilag la'av, v'tavais le'yikas aim, yikru arve nachal. A eye that laughs at the father and embarrasses, what's yikas aim? Doesn't say? Nobody else is following, so it's not going
to
help me. Yeah. I'm starting to keep it out of aim, and I got stuck. First paragraph. I and
he says,
I'm sorry.
Scorus mother's accumulated lore.
Whatever that means, what's accumulated lore?
I guess her menhagim was something or knowledge.
Oh, her menhagim, the yikas aim, the mother's accumulated lore. Yikru will be punctured arve nachau by the ravens of the valley. Yachlu b'nei besher nesher, and will be eaten by the eagles. B'sefer Charedim calls him Maisin Nairish Shai B'yamav. Charedim brings the story. Back of Chepirnes, he fed his mother, took care of his mother. Abayi Bezuya Be'enav, but he treated her disparagingly. The Yamim Matsu Horug, they found him killed mechutz l'ir. V'arbim Nikruas Enav, and the ravens punctured his, took care of his eyes. Kvash across him, Yikru, Arve Nachal, he will be bitten by or pecked by the ravens of the valley. V'koshkin Lanas Lam Shalei B'der Acheretz, and to pain them. Not in a proper way. Shukasu apaiskim le mahani afilu mechila b'zeh. Shal b'zayin le mahani mechila. B'zayin mechila doesn't help. That's in halacha. Ramat deceptive b'shua. Shalus abruven ez the son of Shabbalam. The deceptive says, who's the hated one? Amat deceptive kaifer b'hairav. Is one who denies his parents. He denies his parents. Kilu kaifer b'ikra. Tanabe liyo. Rabba amru. Kol shayna mechaber esav v'zima. Kilu ritzeach v'nariyah v'gainet v'fashas. Like he kills the snus. Kidnaps made a shekel kol yamav, pretty bad. I sham barichas. Now there is a silent halacha that he just brought to this the Beki Yisav that mechila doesn't help on b'zayin. This is negaya. When my yeshiva told me, Rav Ruderman, that Shlomo Kluger was nifter, he called his son over and he said, "I want you to say kaddish for me for 12 months." He said, "The reason people don't say kaddish for 12 months." It's this Mavaza, the father, they say he's in Gehenna for 12 months. Rishoyim are in Gehenna for 12 months. And therefore, it's not right for a child to say Kaddish for 12 months. But I know I'm going to be in Gehenna for 12 months, he told his son. So I'm asking you to do me a favor. You say Kaddish for me for 12 months. And then he was nifter, and his son didn't know what to do. His father gave him a tavor to say Kaddish for him 12 months. And he knew his father was not going to Gehenna for 12 months. But his father had said he knows that he is, and he needs the Kaddish for 12 months. So they went and they asked the Shaila, and the psak was that the father can't be Meichal B'Zayinai. To say Kaddish for 12 months is Mavaz at the parents. And that a father can't be Meichal. He can be Meichal in his covenant, but he can't be Meichal B'Zayinai. That's what he quotes in the Birkei Yitzchak. Le Mahani Mechila Mechila B'Zayinai. Shal B'Zayin Le Mahani Mechila. So that's what they paskened, and the kid was not allowed to say Kaddish for 12 months, only for 11 months.
known that it was not Shomer Shabbos, whatever. I mean,
again, this is not how Alkalam I share. I said over a story I read from my retriever, Shlomo Kluger was a Shomer Shabbos. So that was not an issue with him.
Right, the question.
It's a big shiva. It's a major shiva. My receiver used to tell people that they can say, God, nobody knows exactly when 11 months and 12 months is, he says, except the kid himself. So he said, if you say Kaddish into the 12th month, as long as you don't go all the way to the yard side, it's fine. That's what he used to tell people. Because the whole reason is not to be mevazeh. Nobody knows when the 11th month, nobody keeps track. The only one that keeps track, really, are the kids. They used to say, if you can say a little bit into the 12th month, it's fine. It's brought that to daven for the amud that a kid can do in the 12th month, also if there's nobody else around to daven, meaning he shouldn't act chiv, not a chiv, but if there's no, you know, like sometimes in Shabbat Shabbos for Mincha, they're desperate to find Bali Trilo, right? First come, first serve, last come, first serve, whatever it is. They're, and Abba would be able to daven the 12th month because he's not doing it as a chiv. It's available, so he's no different than anybody else. Okay, but I'm not getting involved in that. That's not our local advice here. We are learning now. Gemara Masechta Snida. We are on Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. We are up to the Amar Reb Yitzchak. Go across Taisus Tachtain and go down two lines. Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. I don't know if it's A1 or A2. I don't know where they're holding here.
B1.
And Taisus, across from Taisus Tachtain, down two lines. The Amar Reb Yitzchak Amar Rabbi. Even Shabbat Zochar, the recording was on at 5:02. Amar Reb Yitzchak Amar Rabbi. Even Shabbat Zochar Ba'olam, Klal Shalom Ba'olam. As Zochar is born, there's harmony in the world. Shenemar, Shuchu Kar, I'm going to need help here, send a present, which is a symbol of peace, right? You send a present to show peace. Maishel Eretz, the ruler of the land, period. So Zohar means Zekar. He is a present. Now, the question is, why is a Zohar Shalom Ba'olam? Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Bekar Mincha, the Hainu Simen Shalom. So I think, again, maybe Rabbeinu Artsko will say a different shot. I didn't have anything marked up in my Masifta, that it has to do with the next Gemara. The Amar Reb Yitzchak, the Bei Rav Ami, Ba Zohar Ba'olam, he comes with parnasa. He comes with the ability to earn a living. Zachar, Zekar, he made a big meal. Zachar means a boy is born with the ability to earn a living. Nekeva, Eidi Maklum. Nekeva has nothing. She doesn't come with that ability. Nekeva, Nekiaba. She comes clear, clean. Meaning without anything, the Amra Mezaini until she demands food, or she begs for food, lo yavalei. The Siv, Nakva Scharka Lai Vetena. Lavan tells Yaakov, tell me the amount you want. It was a request. Nakva Isis Nekeva. She has to be Nikev. She has to request her food. And that's Nekeva as far as Zachar said. Could be that's the reason Zachar is Shalom. Because Hasam Gvulek Shalom Chelav Chitim Yazviyech, right? You want to have peace? Rashi Tillim. You want to have peace? Provide Parnassah. Lack of Parnassah creates rifts in Shalom Bayis. It's a Rashi and Tehillim. And there, I think the Mepharshim saying on this, if I remember correctly, that that's why it's Zachar Shalom, because he has the ability to provide the needs of his family.
Is the Nekeva Shalom today?
I don't argue with Gemaras, and do I say Nishtan Ateva? I'm not a big woman's liver, so therefore I will not. You won't hear it from me. Again, they're men that don't make a penny, right?
The row of women are working now. It's not like the back in the day.
Isn't that sad that they have to work today?
That's the thing.
You know, I have a shita. I don't want to say my shita's here and I scuff up, but this is my shita, and I have no backing from it. That I really think that the Rabbi Nishlam provides for people the way they want to be provided for. In my generation, when I grew up, most women didn't work. Women did not work. Right? Men worked, and they earned a living. And there wasn't, I don't think, there was any more poverty in my circles than there is today. And women didn't work. The men worked, and they earned a living. And they had enough to live on. They didn't need as much. They didn't demand as much. But that's what happened. Again, today, people have two income families. And Bederach Klal, they're living maybe on a higher standard. But they don't have much more money than the average person is still living paycheck to paycheck. Because now he lives two paychecks to paychecks. Rabbi Nishim says, listen, you want to live this way? He says, hey, you want women to work? I'll provide you with your panasa that I made on Rosh Hashanah for you. Whether if this is the Derech HaOlam today, it's the same thing I think is my own personal shita with seatbelts. When I was a kid, they put 10 kids in a station wagon and they loaded them in like I load boxes into my car. And Baruch Hashem, again, do I say, today you'd be arrested for abuse. Correctly so. Why? What happened all of a sudden? Baruch says, listen, if this is the way you guys want the world to run, I'll run the world that way. I don't mind. It's not going to make major changes. It's safer. I can sell you a whole stick of Torah why it's safer, and it is. But I don't know. I grew up with 10 in the station wagon, and nobody ever arrested my father for putting 10 into the station wagon.
Rabbi, you don't see there's more wealth in the Orthodox community today than there was 40 years ago?
There might be more wealth in certain individuals. That is true. But I think Roiv, the community here in Cleveland Heights, I can't talk for the other community, the other city I can't talk about, lives paycheck to paycheck. That's why I really believe. And as a Rav, I think I know more. Right, the community here in Cleveland Heights is paycheck. They live nicer than my parents lived. Yes, they have two cars instead of one car, and they have things in the house that we didn't have. Yes, but they still live paycheck to paycheck. I think it's now. Again, there are people, maybe more people, that have wealth than these.
No.
I'm talking about Baal Batim. The people I give money to before Pesach are not the Kaibo people. When I collect Moskitim and I deliver it 2 days before Pesach into their mailboxes, they're not Baal Batim. They're not Kaibo people. Not one of them. They're all working people. Yes?
There's a great deal of economic studies to support exactly what you said. When you have these families going from one income to two incomes, initially the people who had two incomes were significantly wealthier, but what happens, prices just rise. Douglas Norton.
Thank you for supporting my theory.
Did a study of the influx of silver into Spain in the 16th century.
Yes.
And looked at the correlation to price of bread. So all things like that do is just
drives
the prices
up. I think that's everybody's way of running the world, but that's my own theory. You can argue on it. I have no chazal to back me up.
What did Rabbi say about the seatbelt thing?
I said that I grew up with 10 kids in a station wagon,
and
nothing happened, Baruch Hashem.
That's because
Shem Ripsai Hashem, the Rabbi Nisham ran the world that way. People thought it was safe, so the Rabbi Nisham treated it as safe. Shem Ripsai Hashem. Now that people think it's unsafe, and by the way, I happen to think it's unsafe, I still can't think about why I sat in the back of a station wagon like a sardine, but I did, and I made it story. I'm still here to tell the tale, right? But the bottom line is, everybody says, it's fine. If you guys think it's unsafe, I'm willing to go along with it.
Well, maybe there's a lot of fatalities, and that's why they have to change the law, because
I'm not going to sit and argue with you, because I don't have statistics here, and again, 95% of statistics are made up anyway, so it doesn't make a difference now. Like, climate change is also statistically proven, right? Okay, next. I just want to say over Ramesh's Shuba, that is the Gei de Gemara. Somebody asked Ramesh a question. He has a choice to buy two things, life insurance or retirement insurance. Should he put money into the fact that when he retires, he'll get back what he puts into, or should he put it into life insurance? So Ramesh said he should put it into life insurance. Why? So Ramesh said, Gemara said, Zohar Zekar. A Zohar comes with the ability of making a living. That means, Be'etzem, a Zohar can take care of himself. What will happen when he's 86? Whatever. But that's not the worry. But a Nekeva is Nekia. And therefore, one has to leave money over for his wife. That's what Ramesh writes to the Tshuva. Now, if somebody wants to ding Zohar, they can argue now that women make money. Ramesh wrote this not in 2026. He wrote it sometime in the 1960s or 70s, but that he based it on this Gemara, that it's more important to have life insurance than insurance for retirement. Again, I'm just saying over a mission and tshuva, and we can move on after that. Yes?
Specified term, right?
What?
He specified term, specifically term.
That I don't remember. Could be. I don't remember. Honestly, I don't remember. All I know is that he said, this Gemara was the source. That's why I'm saying it now. Because this Gemara is that car that a Zohar comes with an ability. I mean, the Rebbe Shlom said, I will help males make Parnassa more than females because it's built into their name and their thing. Again, not that the Rebbe Shlom ignores females. But again, that's what I'm saying. Rashi. So Rashi, Ada Nikia Chasera. She has to daven. Women have to daven for parnasa. You hear this? More than men do.
Not close.
What? If she needs things, if Baruch Hashem she's married, it's through her husband. Oh, now she's earning her own money. She doesn't have to daven for her husband anymore. Acha Amra Nakva Nami Hachid Shinan. Nakva, she said, think of it as far as Tukorcha Metaina. Tell me what you want. Nakva Nami Yochid, the cave Nami Yochid, the Shina. Zogzi Gemara Vaita. Okay, we're not, I'm not getting involved in sociological studies now. Zogzi Gemara Vaita, Shalu Tamina Vesav Shimon Ben Yochoi. Bimema Ambra Taira, Yeletis Mavia Carbon. Why does the Yeletis bring a carbon? Amr Lahan, Rashi brings this in Chumich. Mishasha Karas Leilaid. When she kneels to give birth, confesses v'nishbas, she swears like a zakik levayla. The pain is so severe that she swears never to have a relationship with her husband again. L'vichacham b'tayra, tavi karpen. Zakrashi, tavi karpen, shvuas bitui chatas. A chatas for swearing and not keeping her shvua. Not that we want her to keep her shvua, but now the truth is, the question is, does she utter a shvua? Is it a real shvua? She would have to go to Heter Nadarim. Terence says, the Torah is saying, this is what goes, again, it's not my, some people say this, chapter, other chapter. This is what goes through the woman's mind. She'd rather not have to go through this pain, but it's a fleeting thought, it goes through her. So the Torah says, we'll get you a kapara for that as well. And even if she says, no, I never had that thought, it doesn't make a difference. The Torah says she has to make the carbon anyway. This is not a shaygig. She's amazing. She makes this shvua. Ubecharata talya milsa. Right, carbon shvua by yisuya. She should bring an oil of the iron, not a just two one animal, right? Two birds or whatever it is that she brings. Ubecharata period. So he doesn't like that shot. He doesn't think that that should be the reason. Again, the Farshim answer that it's not like he's Reb Shimon holds that he she utters that shvua. Again, I'm just speaking out what they said. Rashi Mazidehi Veinkan Karpen. The benevolent sim b'shvuas b'toy. By a shvua that a person doesn't keep, it has to be b'shagig. And the oid karpen shvua by a chisvay sira, a lamb or a goat, right? High oifu when she brings an oif. So Rabbi Yitzchak doesn't think it's related. Yes.
She does not say it. Only thinks that's b'chayav
korban. That's what I'm trying to say. This is the problem Rabbi Yitzchak has. You're asking Rav Yitzchak's question in a different way. That this has nothing to do with shvua.
Somebody
would
have to recover their matzah, their neder.
What?
What's
a person can be matzah, and they don't have to bring a carbon.
There's another Rashi.
Okay, I'll get there in a second, but I'm answering his question. Yes, a person can be matzah, shvua, matzah, neder. Correct. B'charata talya liftayach la'b'charata b'yatzel ha'chachim shvuasa. Carbon ain't no Iker Matush was up. Bringing a carbon, how does that allow her to have a relationship with her husband? If she swore, she should have been bidden unless she goes to Bezin or sends her husband to Bezin. A husband can be Matur, his wife. He can be nobody else. Meaning, I can't ask Ramesh Aparin to be my agent to be Matur Nadarim. I have to go myself. But a wife can ask her husband. It's the only one that can make a Shliach. And how welcome am I?
It's not required shuva before you bring a korban.
Not for this. Well, the question is, what is the Yeletis bringing a korban for?
Yeah.
Rav Shimon ben Yochai makes it sound like for a sin. But right. Pashtas, you don't learn it's for a sin.
Okay.
It's a heter. It's like a heter to eat kachim. It's a heter, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever tumma she had. But you're right. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says, shuva is not charata that we're talking about here. Charata means going to Bezin. A person makes a shvua, he can do tshuva all day. He still has the shvua. Charata talya milsa doesn't mean tshuva. Charata Talia Milsa means go to Bezin and get it removed.
So I'm asking, you can get it removed after you're over it?
Yes, absolutely. Unless, one second, let's put that clause in there. Unless it's no longer Negeya. Meaning, a person swears they won't eat this loaf of bread, and they eat that loaf of bread, they can't remove it anymore. There's no loaf of bread left. But if a person swears that they'll never eat chont, right, they can have it removed even after they ate chont, because there's still more chont to eat. Right? So, it depends. When I say you can remove it after one is over, that's if it's still negeya. If it's not negeya anymore, it's only in the past they can't remove it. I can't hear you.
Even if there's a Pesach to say, had I known...
Again, it's not negeya anymore. That's not luck. I just had a story. A girl called me, not a month and a half ago, a girl called me and said that she was upset and she swore that she wasn't going to go somewhere for today. And then she went. So her teacher told her she has to do tshuva, do something. So she called the rabbi. At least the teacher called the rabbi what she's supposed to do. Now, you can't be matred anymore. It's not negeya anymore. So Baruch told me to tell her to fast a half a day. That's tshuva. I guess he wanted to impress on her that it's not a joke. It says, very chamura to break a shua. You shouldn't say, I swear. It's not a good thing to do. So he told me that I wouldn't have been so harsh with her, but Baruch said she should fast a half a day. So I told her to fast a half a day. Whether she listened to me or not, I don't know who the girl was. The teacher is the one that called me. Like, not to give my right term. Why did the Torah say a boy for 7 and a keva for 14? Tuma. Zachar shakos smechem boy. Zachar, everybody's happy when they have a boy. So it only takes 7 days for her to want a relationship with her husband. So after 7 days, she becomes star. The keva shakela tevim boy. People are upset that they had a girl. Mitzcharetas labo asar. She takes 14 days for her to have charata. Not to go to Bezin. We're not talking about going to Bezin. To change her mind. Why is Mila on the 8th day? So you kill them, semechim, v'alavim, and save them. Everybody's happy for the bris. And the parents who still can't have relationships are upset. They're not in that good mood because they can't have a relationship. Therefore, the Torah said, let's wait till the 7 days that the tumah is over. Now they're mutter to each other. And therefore, we can have the bris on the 8th day. Again, I'm reading a Gemara. I'm not going to say any shot in this. Maybe Rabbeinu does. I don't have shot.
So, isn't that the kid
has
to go through a Shabbos?
That's a Medrash. Yeah, it's a Medrash that says the kid has to go through a Shabbos. I thought one of the Mepharshim should bring it down, that the Medrash says it's like a carbon that has to go through a Shabbos. A kid has to go through a Shabbos.
So that's not what the Pesach says, have the bris on the 8th day.
It's right after.
This is the explanation why.
Isn't that what the Gemara is saying? I mean, am I saying it? I was reading a Gemara. I didn't say anything. In fact, I refused to say anything.
If I go to the Chinuch and see, Mrs. Mila will say this.
Maybe it won't. Because I don't know if the chinuch will tell you why it's the 8th day. He'll tell you why we do a bris. But I don't remember the chinuch discussing why it's the 8th day. This is an answer why a kid has a bris.
This is the answer you said.
This answers why 8th day.
It answers why 8th day. It doesn't answer why he has a bris, period. That the chinuch talks about. In my memory of the Chinuch, that's what he discusses. Why did the Rabbi Nishlam make a person incomplete that the person should complete themselves? That's what the Chinuch talks about. But I don't remember the Chinuch discuss. Again, I don't remember, a very key word here, that I don't remember him discussing why 8th day.
I'm sorry.
8th day is the name of a band, the 8th day, yeah. Because they want everybody to be happy. Yes, go ahead.
I can't believe the parents aren't happy as much as anyone else because they can't have relations.
Again, what did I say when I read this Gemara?
People with a happy marriage.
Zuck Rashi. Mischaretas l'shiva mishava l'tash mishbailo v'shitachza v'tesaber zachar. So what's another boy? V'mah milu l'shmayna v'loy l'shiva. Why not the 7th day? Now why the 7th day more than the 8th day? I'm not sure. Rashi says, why eighth, not seventh? Why not fourth? Why not third? Why not two? Why? I don't know if Rashi. I don't know why Rashi says it should be the seventh. So Yaakov Smechim, so Ichim of the Shaitz and Besuda, they're eating a meal. By the way, some people hold that the Suda's birth might be a derisa. And the other Vima at Sevim. And the parents are upset, Shasurim Betashmish. Look to Gemara Baiter. Tanya Ayra Meir Ayra Meimaham Retire Nidil Shiva. Why did the Torah ban a woman to have a relationship for 7 days after she becomes an Ida? They should ruggle ba, because the person becomes accustomed to his wife, the Katzba, and you begin to become disgusted. It's not desirable. The desire is lost when she's always available. So the Rebbeinu Shel made her not available for part of the month. Therefore, the husband should have a greater desire for her. Tanya Ayra Meir today, listen to the Chazal. He should have back the desire like he had when he married her. That's why the Torah asked him. Look, Rashi, neither Shiva lab Yeletus, it's not a Yeletus. Makes Adam Rogel be Ishta called Shashi Yirtsa, whatever he wants her. Kazba Mu'usalaf. I'm retiring because Sasha Tirate Tmei Shiva, they say Rogoba, but the Schabib I love should be more beloved to him. So now, you're going to ask me what happens when the woman is 75 and she doesn't have a period anymore? I don't know the answer. Shalom Tamidav is from the story of Reb Yaga. It's also Nishtana to have on this. Why do men look for their wives and wives don't look for their husbands? Once upon a time. But Mashal Adam, this is part of women getting working and earning their own living. Mashal Adam, Shavu Lo Yaveda, this is, it's a muscle to a person who lost an object. Mi Magzer Ami, Balaveda, Magzer Alavadasai. The man lost his wife. Adam Marishan lost his wife. It was part of him taken away. He has to find her. In my experience, Rashi, Magzer, he's Adam Ponri, Mavakish, Magzer Achenaisai. He looks for the Shidduch. And the woman is the one found. She doesn't look. Right.
He lost his rib. It was his wife.
Well, that part of him he lost. He tried to get his part back. His part was developed. But it's his part. Right. Rabbi Weinberg told me, quoting, that women will never be equal. Because as long as they're called a woman, they can't be equal. Because woman means for a man. The word tightens up what she is. Woman means from man.
What,
so saying that she's...
Woman means from.
Yeah. Woman means from, yeah, in whatever language.
Latin,
yeah.
Latin Rabbi?
Latin?
It's not Greek.
It may be German, but it's not...
Yeah,
that's what language is that?
Latin is
seminar. Hey, I'm just telling you what Rabbi Weinberg told me. I once sent it over, and it's here for Friday people, and there was a lawyer there that was so impressed with that word, said he can't wait to use it in court. That's what the lawyer told me. A Friar lawyer. He was like, wow, what a great thing. He never thought of it that way. Yeah.
Good luck with that, of course. The idea of the rib is just a euphemism, a metaphor. The woman was fully formed and a part of the back.
That's what I just turned on him. So I don't take sides. One Tata says that, and one Tata says he took a rib and he made it into a woman. It's a machlokes. We don't take sides.
The Bible says male and female, he formed them.
Again, so I hate to tell you, the Gemara talks about this. The Gemara knew that, Pasuk. The Gemara in Erevin, the first comment on the second pairing, the two Mandi Amrim.
Ani Mamin Amrish Lema, that they knew the
Pasuk. The Gemara knew the Pasuk and deals with it. Vaitre. Zog the Gemara Vaitre. The Memai Ish Panav Lamata Visha Panel Lamaila. In a regular relationship, man is on top, woman is on bottom. Why? Klapeyesh. She faces the man. Zeh mimakam shenivra. He is created from the ground. He faces the ground. Mezu mimakam shenivra. She was created from him, so she faces him. Mimar ish mekabel pius. Vein ish mekabelis pius. Why are men easily, what is the word I want to use?
Pacified.
But pacified. Why are they easily pacified as opposed to women? And that is so true. Because, not because I'll need my agreement, bones have a harder time giving in than dirt does. Dirt is softer than bones. And therefore, a woman is tougher, right, Right? Take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya on Kerachim of Abonim. Because Kerachim of Abonim, why doesn't it say Kerachim Eim Abonim? Take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya when it says women was created from bone. Weiter. But man, I know it's hard to say that a man have more rachmanas on their children than women, but take a look at Rabbeinu Bechaya. But may ma isha koyla arev? Yes.
Say that vort, like you got an at
psachwo. Yeah.
So why say at?
That's a vort, and Rabbeinu Bechaya is a reason.
What does he say, Rabbeinu
Bechaya, where? Okay. By creation of woman. He talks about Karachim Abamonim, I think so, if I remember correctly. Bema isha kaila arev, why do women have not sweeter voices? Vein ish kaila arev. And a man doesn't have such a sweet voice. Zem yimakim shenivra, when you bang on ground, it doesn't make a pleasant noise. On a bone, you can already use as a musical instrument, as a drum, as a this. So therefore, women have sweeter voices. Right? We don't find males praised for a beautiful voice. We only find females praised for a beautiful voice. We're talking about, of course, there's exceptions. That women also don't sound such sweet voices, and there are men that have nice voices. But the sweetness of voices is more a feminine trait than a masculine trait. Even today, when women have lips, or women. By the way, I should take back my part on woman, because today nobody knows what a woman is. They don't even know what it is. How do you know what she comes from?
Know what a woman is.
I don't know. The Supreme Court Justice of the United States didn't know what a woman was, yes.
The person who of the temple who called out, who could be heard,
yes. Greeny Cruz, yeah.
I'm sorry.
His name was Greeny, yes.
Was his voice just loud or was it pleasant?
It doesn't say it was pleasant. I didn't put it, let me take it back. I never saw anybody say it was pleasant. They did say it was loud.
Yeah, no, it was clearly loud.
Rashi. Look, Rashi. Not before that. Part of Lamata Mishash Tashmish. Zemi Malkim Shinibra Mistako Badama Shinaitse Remena, he was created. Vimistakela's boy Shinaitse Remena, she looks at him, she was created from him. Mikabo Pius Nayach Larasis. Zemi Malkim Shinibra, Adama Amr to offer to Huach. Adama is soft, Nayach Libato. It's easier to break. I will Busser Batama's cushion. It's interesting, he says Busser. He says flesh and bones are harder. I would have said bones are harder. Rashi throws in busser more than afar, which I found easy and interesting. Etzem k'shemakim by kaila nishma. Avakarkin k'shemakim by in kaila nishma. It's dull. You hit the dirt, it sounds dull. You hit a bone, it sounds. It's good. Adro lachem apelos chaticha, adro lachem apelos chaticha.
I actually want to go off of this. There's no psukim for any of this stuff. Right?
What do you mean? It's all based on psukim.
All based on psukim?
It's saying. Which one? Oh, no, some of it's not based on psukim. Because I were telling you why these things, the Rebbeinu Shlomo made it happen.
And Chazal all agreed. I mean, there's no arguments over here.
Again, do you see one? I don't see one. Yes?
So if you'll take two
kashas,
whenever
answered, right? No. But Rashi quotes Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. By the way, Rav Shimon Ben Yochai is a Tana, and Rav Yosef is an Amira. He's not arguing Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. He wouldn't dare. He's saying, I just don't understand. Rav Shimon Ben Yochai is a Tana. Tana Lakai, Rab Shimon Ben Yochai, right? This is Rab Shimon Ben Yochai. Hai Rab Lacham Apelos Chaticha. You know, again, I'm going to say something now. I'm probably going to regret in 2 minutes that I said, but I'll say it anyway. There are Mepharshim, really probably a certain kind of Mepharshim, Pailusha, people that have this unbelievable look at Shas. They look at it differently than we do, that go through Rab Shimon's opinions to prove that Rab Shimon was very into Kavana. Very into the thought of a person, more in a certain way, more davishay miskavet is motor misasik is not chayav. All kinds of different Reb Shimons. It's kosu lamakis that if you eat a little bit, you're machshavet. It's chayav makis. There's many countless Reb Shimons that they bring through Shas that shows Reb Shimon is the Tana that stresses thought, kavana, and Reb Yehuda looks more on the actions. Davishay miskavet gets in the action. Who cares what your kavana was? Right? Things like that. This is a, and they go and make mishitases all over. This would fit that thing. Here's Rav Shimon saying what goes through a woman's mind as she's having childbirth pain. Right, here we go. Again, I'm just speaking, I'm mentioning this, I'm not proving this. There are mefarshim to go through many different opinions of Reb Shimon and Shas to show that this is his shita and approach, whatever it is. Whereas, again, I'm sure people will say you have no right to do that. I'm just saying what some mefarshim do. And this would fit it, because he's masking the woman swears she can't just walk away from a shua. So that's why I explained it. It's a thought process in her mind. Again, working with Reb Shimon, that gives a certain chshivas, certain push to the thought process. And he wrote Zayar, by the way, which is also the emphasis on that part of a person. So again, that's what they want to say. I'm not going to go through all Reb Shimon's and Shas for many reasons. The first one is I don't know them. Weiter. Hadra v'achan apelos chaticha. Look the Mishnah weiter. Benois kusim nidus marisasan. The young girls that are born to kusim. Now there's a big machlokes whether kusim were ever Jewish or not. Let me give a background. There was a nation called Kuta, somewhere in, I assume, in Asia. Kuta. When Sancheriv came, his Sancheriv's modus operandi was to conquer a nation and move everybody out, and moved them to a different part of the world. And by doing that, what he did is, it stops revolution. Because these people move into a new country till they get acclimated. It takes years and years and years and years. They have no time to make a rebellion. So he did this. That was his modus operandi. It worked perfectly. It worked perfectly. His mistake was he came to Yerushalayim, and there he met his end. His tactic did work, except he came to the thing. I was 9 years old. Some things are etched in memory. When I was 9 years old, my Gaiusha teacher in fourth grade took us to a place in Baltimore called Walter's Art Gallery. And that was a place where they had historic empires. And they got to the Assyrian Empire. Now, nobody in class had any idea what Assyrian Empire was. But my father had taught me the story of Sancheriv, and we had learned the Medrash about Sancheriv. So I knew the story of Sancheriv. Nobody else in the class had any idea who the Assyrian Empire was. I know, even now, right? I knew who Sancheriv was. So the teacher said, meaning whatever they said over there, I still remember, that he was a largely successful empire, and nobody knows how it fell apart. We theorize, I still remember the teacher, I was 9 years old, we theorize that what happened was that it got so big that every country just reclaimed themselves, and he just lost the empire that way. And I remember going home and telling my father, like, they don't know a medrash. They don't understand what happened. They don't know Nach. What do you mean they don't know what happened? Learn Navi. Churches, they don't learn it, but I still remember. So this, Benoit's Kusa, what happened was, he moved the nation of Kuta into Eretz Yisrael. That's what he did. Instead of, he moved the Aseres HaShvatim to who knows where, right? And he moved Benoit's Kuta into Eretz Yisrael. When I Kuta came to Eretz, the people of Kuta came to Eretz Yisrael. And what happened was, they were Goyim, they were even Abed Azara, and the Rebbeinu Shlom sent lions, an onslaught of lions. They got petrified. They went to ask Ashayla, what do we do? So they were told, you have to be Megayer. You have to stop serving Abed Azara, and you have to be Megayer. So they went through the Geiris process, the lions left. There's a Machloikis Tanoim, was it a sincere Geiris or not? There's Mandiyamrim that say, Kusim Geir Araya said. They only became Geirim because of lions. They never meant it. They never were Makabo oil mitzvahs. They are Goyim, never were Jews. There are other Tanoim that say, no, they were Kusim Geir Emes. They meant to become Jews. They were real Jews. Now the problem became, also they became Paiskim. They became real Jews, but they decided which part of Judaism to keep and which part not to keep. Now if you hold their Goyim, they're Goyim. There's nothing to talk about. You hold that Yidden, so now you have to understand which parts of Yiddishkeit did they keep and which parts of Yiddishkeit did they not keep. Now, what happened over time was they caught him serving Avodah Zarah quietly, which didn't prove that they were Geir Arayos, but it proved that they no longer were adhering to the Jewish faith. So the Yidden were merachik them totally, and they assimilated into other nations. So they're a non-existent factor anymore. Because the Yidden started treating them like Goyim, because they went off, they started serving Avodah Zarah. And they were a unique community. It wasn't that they had mixed into Klal Yisrael. They hadn't. And therefore, they were treated like Goyim, and they ended up, they're gone. Now, this Mishnah holds Kusim Geri Emes. They're Jews. If they're Jews, they have to keep Nidah, they have to keep Zav. Now, they did keep this. They kept Nidah. They kept that halacha. The problem was, they decided that a woman becomes Tamei Nidah as soon as she has a discharge, right? And that's the second part of the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah is they decided that young girls who have a discharge of blood aren't nidus. You have to be a certain age, and an infant girl who has a discharge of red discharge is not a nidah. So they didn't title them. They didn't consider them nidus. We say, we learn that from a pasuk, that a one-day-old girl can become a nidah. Now, I did read once that sometimes girls at birth or right after birth have a discharge from their vagina. In halacha, it would be a nida, a red discharge. Halacha would be a nida. However, it's not very frequent. But that's the
what
halacha.
Do you do about it?
Nothing today, because who cares? She goes to the mikvah.
What do they do about it? They dump them?
Yeah, they dump them, yeah. They dump them. Habnais kusim, nidas marisasan. They're nidas from as soon as they're born, because they didn't care if that young girl had a period. Also, that kusim mitamim mishkav tachtin kelyan. Every kusi was considered a bayol nida. Why? They kept nidas. But they decided that any discharge of a woman, regardless what color it was, made her a nida. So here's a woman had a yellow discharge on Chav Hei of the month and a red discharge on Chav Zayin. When did the 7 days start? They started Chav Hei. Chumrah. They were a machmer. She's a nida at Chav Hei. So they counted the 7 days from Chav Hei. They didn't do 7 clean days. Really, the day should have started Chav Zayin. So she went to the mikveh 2 days early, lived with her husband. He was a bayol nida. He didn't consider himself a bayol nida. His wife kept nidas. But their rabbi, Kusi rabbi, decided that she was a nida 2 days earlier. I made up 2 days, it could have been 3 days, it could have been 1 day. And therefore, every Kusi is a chashash, she's a bayol nida. And therefore, he's metame mishkav tachtin kelyan. A bayol nida is metame what's under him, like what's above a nida. A nida that sits on 6 mattresses, they're all avatumas. If she has 10 blankets on top of her, they're all rishon latumas. A bayol nida, his mattresses are like the nida's blankets. What's under him is like what's above her. That's tachtin kelyan. What's under him, meaning his mishkav and mishav, his 10 mattresses that are under him. Well, Nida would lay on 10 mattresses, they would all be Avatumma. If he lays on 10 mattresses, they're all Rishon Latumma. Like if she had 10 blankets, even though they don't touch her, they all become Rishon Latumma. That's Nida's the same thing. Again. But, my, okay, I'm sorry. Same thing. It's saying that a bayol nida's bottom is like a zav's top. True. Like a nida's top. I just said like the woman that's a nida, they said the man.
A nida that has something above her is the
time of
that?
Yes, a rishon l'tumah, not an ava tumah. I use nida as the example, and they use zav as the example. It's the same tumah. It's if they stuck in the males, and I went to a female. So I was contrasting the bayol nida with the nida. They were contrasting the bayol nida with a zav. That's all. But the Behen Yoshvas are called Dam Badam because they start their nidus at any color blood. However, they're not Vadai Bayal Anidas. So therefore, Eichayav Malayim Abiyas Migdash, they walked into the Beit HaMikdash, we couldn't make them bring a carbon because we don't know they're Bayal Anidas. Vein Sarfen Alayna Satruma, we won't burn Truma if they touch it because maybe their wife did go to the mikvah at the proper time. It makes it to Muslim Suffolk because it's a Suffolk. Rashi. So Rashi ben Aitzkusim did this marisasim mikatnusim b'gemara mefarish taima. The Gemara will say the reason I cheated. I told you the reason. Tachten kehoyim mefarish b'gemara. Then Yoishes will go down the dam. Kloimer. Lachi have a bayal nidus. Mishum the kol dam sharoya is beit adam ben yarak, whether it's red or yellow. Yoishes all of you may need this. Mezuta koli lahem. That's a stumbling block. Shemroya dam yarak hayoyim. Maschelus lemnishi shivahu. She starts counting this day as 6 others. If Tira bites and you may need this Dam Edayim, and what if she sees red? Eina by now be a Bria Rishayna. She starts counting from the first day. Vayta Dam Yorik Tarha. Vaya Mara, Vaya, it was Tarha, Mara Shnia Yitzvich Olim Leif. Maria Shnia, she's supposed to start from the red. She started 2 days earlier or a day earlier. Then she goes to the mikveh too early. Eich HaYavon Aleha, now Zachir is Nika Rashi here, all the Mepharshim ask, Haloi Vishay Mishchase Vaisim Begadim, when he wears or covers himself with the Begadim that this woman had sat on, right? V'nichnas l'migdash pata mikarben, right? It's not, Rashi doesn't say that that woman goes into the mikdash or if her husband goes into the mikdash. Means a regular frum yid who sat on that clothing might have been kamtame from the mishkav, and he goes into the mikdash. A rishon l'tume goes into the mikdash. He's not chayav karben. But Rishon goes into the mikdash, he is chayav karben. But he's wearing this clothing. He's putter. The shaila is, why did Rashi need him to have that clothing in? Why couldn't Rashi just say he went in? Teretz is, he went to the mikvah, but he's wearing the clothing, so he becomes a Rishon. I'm not sure. This is the kasha they ask. Putter b'karben. I am nagu aysim b'gadim shal mishka b'tru machulim le'edinan inidi hu lai. We don't know if she's in either. We assume she's Tameh, but really she's suffering Tameh. Rabbanah said, treat her like Tameh, but we can't burn Truma, and we can't make them bring a carbon for the Beis HaMikdash. Why Rashi have to say bringing in the clothing? Why didn't Rashi say a guy walked in? Why did he have to have the clothing involved? They required him to ask it. I didn't see a good shot. Does the article say anything? I doubt it, because he didn't have to quote the Rashi.
Did they ever bring her, let him bring her bonus then? Did they have to put some bonus on it?
Why not? Meaning at the end of the day, Tara, why not?
How do they know if they were Tara?
I don't know. I just can't answer the question. You're asking a good question, which I don't know the answer to. Practicing my Echidami. What is this girl? Is the Kachazian? Did she see a period? I've only done Nami. Arabic girls are also coming. We do like Kachazian. Is who Nami like? And if she didn't see a period, why are we making an 8-day-old Kusi girl coming? To stop, we don't know if this girl saw. Since there are a minority of girls that have periods very young, because they don't take them to the mikvah. Rashi, I've only done Nami. Ichazi barisasan if he saw in your crib. Tameya, Tanya lekamon, Basre mechad minayin, Lenida minayin, Tamar lemek veisha. The extra vav says that even a 1-day-old can become a tamenida. The ikamiyuta the chashin bekat nusan. There's a minority that see when they're young. Chashinu lemiyuta mataminu lekulu marisasan, and we make them all tamei from when they are in their crib, which is the zil machazia. Uman tana the chayis lemiyuta. So who is this tana that worries about the minority? Why don't we go by majority? Majority of girls don't see periods at that young age. Remeir, it's going like Remeir. The Tanya we learned. Okay, now let me give a background. The Torah gives a mitzvah of Yibum or Chalitza. Somebody dies, or Kamala Lutzan, without children, their brother has to do either Yibum or Chalitza. What if the man, the brother, is a katan? Or what if the girl is a katana? The halacha is, they can't do Chalitza because the Torah writes Ish. The Torah calls the brother Ish, which means an adult, and we learn that Isha has to be like Ish, so an adult, the girl has to be an adult, and the boy has to be an adult, the wife has to be an adult, the son, the brother has to be an adult, in order to do Chalitza. How about Yibum? Can a 9-year-old do Yibum? Can an 11-year-old do Yibum? A 12-year-old do Yibum? Can an 11-year-old girl receive Yibum? Now, an 11-year-old girl can be married biblically if her father accepted Kedushin. So she's a biblical wife. She needs Chalitza or Yibum. She can't do Chalitza at 12, 11, because the Torah said Ish, and we have Machshin on Ish, and we compare Ish to Ish. But how about Yibum? Why not? Why shouldn't they be able to do Yibum? Answer is, maybe the boy will be a Saris, meaning he won't develop state Saris. He'll never become a person capable of having a child. And the Torah makes Yibum dependent on the brother being a healthy man who can have children. Not that he has to have children, that's not up to us, but he has to be capable physically. And the woman can't be an islandess. And those things cannot be proven, or even begin to be proven, till 13 by a boy and 12 by a girl. So do we worry about that or not? Now, sometimes it's not proven at that age either. But normally, a boy will, regularly, I should say, a boy will develop Stasaris at 13 and a girl will do it at 12, and then we'll know they're not a Saris and an Islandess. Whereas if they don't, an Okanami must have to wait longer. But that's not the point. We're now worried about the 12-year-old boy and the 11-year-old girl. Do we have to say, can we say, go by the majority? Statistically, most men can have children and most women can bear children. And so if they can, we can do Yibam right now. But if you can't, if you're worried about the minority, they can't. State the Mishnah, the Tanya.
So statistically, an old man, a guy 100 years old, would be pleasure from Yibam?
No, because he can have children.
But statistically speaking.
Again, we'll go again. He has nothing physically wrong that inhibits him from having children. A Saris never got the body parts necessary to have children. An Islandess never got the body parts necessary to have children.
A 12-year-old boy could not have children.
Again, hold. If he's not a Saris, can he not or not? I don't know. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. I don't know. The Gemara talks about an 11-year-old girl having children. The Gemara says it's dangerous, but I'm not getting involved in that. I'm saying that if they don't develop Stasaris, they can never have children. That's what I'm saying. Tanya, katnu k'tana lechotzim lemiyamim divu remeyer. Amu le remeyer, so they said to remeyer, yofa marta, you're right, shein chotzim. Isksim b'parcha. Right? It says this, makshina yishaliyas, and we compare woman to man. Matame miyamim, why aren't you miyamim? Amu lehem, katn shemayim tzisris, k'tana shem tzisemetim tzailanis. Then it's a brother's wife without the mitzvah of Yibam. Rabbanon, zo basaruba. Rav Tanan lavsirisim ninu. Tanan Rav Ruba was in Tanan. Rav Tanan lavsirisim ninu. Zo basaruba diktanis. Rav Tanan five islanders ninu. So Remeir holds you go basarmiyat. So he's the one that worries about this girl because he goes basarmiyat. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, the ikimuta the chashin bekatnusan chashin on the miyuta. Bottom Rashi on Amin Alpha Bepez, the meaning of Kulam, I saw some Shimdil Machai, and maybe she saw Ish Sibaparcha, Layach Bitsa Ish, Ish Paitra Machalitza, Belay Kutten. But Matam, Amyam, being the Luyachad, let him grow up together. Saris, La Barakam Hashem, you cannot have kids. Vain Mitzvah Leibo, he has no mitzvah. Chain Islandess. The keep him the Miyam below mitzvah, Noisha Asia Saka Bechinam, he's marrying his brother's wife for no reason. Ve'ervihi, Ubekaris. So that's why the Mishnah says you have to worry about B'nai Skusim. In fact, the Gemara, Eimer D'Shamach Le'el Remeir Miyuta D'Shchiach. Swiss and Islandess, unfortunately, are frequent. It happens. Statistically, it happens. And therefore, I'm sorry?
That's frequent.
Mara calls it frequent. I don't know what the bar of frequent is. I will Miyuta D'Loi Shchiach B'Shamach Le'el. For a girl to have a period at that young age is much less Shchiach. Why not true? Hanami muta d'shriach. This is also frequent. Netanya. Amar Reb Yosi Maisa Bein Bull Vitbelu Kaidim Lima. There was a story named Bull that we put the girl into the mikveh before her mother got to Hira. Meaning, she was saw the period, she saw it right when she got born. She was able to go to the mikveh on day six. On day seven. Her mother couldn't go to the thing till seven at night. And she was able to go seven by day. I mean, also seven at night. So I don't know why Kaidim Lima exactly. Right. Why did we do it? Because of truma. We didn't want the baby touching truma. So we see it wasn't as unfrequent as you think. Infrequent. Rashi, aim bull, base arm, marriage Israel, pumpadisa, chutzlare. This thing ain't the next Gemara. So Rashi gives you the location of all these places. Fine. We will stop here. We'll continue, Mr. Shem, tomorrow. I bet you have a one.